Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Future of Fantasy. I am your host, Frank Stampfel, here with my colleague, Michael, the Fantasy Beast Florio.
Oh, you beast!
What's going on, Mikey?
Nothing. Feel like I always have the same answer, but just happy to talk some football. We missed last week. We apologize about that. We're busy men, you know?
Absolutely. Been watching any of the baseball playoffs?
Yeah. I'm actually rooting for the Royals. I'm not a Royals fan, but I just like their
Ooh,
story.
Ooh, jumping on the bandwagon. I heard you jumped on the Bills bandwagon too, Mike.
Nope. I've been a Bills fan my whole life. It's been a long 15 years, but this is the biggest week for them in a long time.
So you're only 15 years old?
No. But
I thought the Bills chose you from birth, Mike.
Yeah, but they haven't made it in 15 years. That's what I'm saying. It's been a long 15 years. 99, last time they made the playoffs. So big, big game for them. If you don't understand that, I'm sorry. I think only Browns fans could feel our pain.
You know, listeners, I wish you could be here to see Mike smiling from ear to ear right now. He is so excited about these Buffalo Bills.
Kyle Orton, man, the savior.
And I can't blame him. But did you see Kyle Orton's mustache?
Oh, my God. Do you see his helmet? It barely covers his chin. I don't know what he's thinking.
Why? What does that even mean? Is it like a baby boy?
It looks bad. Mask? Like Google Kyle Orton on the Bills and you'll see. For me at least, it looked like it didn't even cover his chin. And they also complained that a fan was shining a laser pointer in his eye during the game, so.
If Kyle Orton leads the Bills to the playoffs, can you promise the listeners that you will grow a Kyle Orton mustache, and only a mustache, while the Bills are in the playoffs?
Yes, if he leads them to the playoffs now, like, if they switch to, like, EJ and they make it, maybe I'll do it too, because EJ has a stash as well, but.
Well, that's a different kind of stash, though.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, today's focal point of the podcast will be, what else is new? Underachieving running backs and their rest of season outlooks, along with these injury replacement running backs who are stepping in. You know, what does it mean for their value? How long will they be able to hold on to their jobs? I actually want to talk about that first, if that's okay with you, Mikey.
Yeah, and just, it's underachieving players, not...
Oh, underachieving, yes, all players. Because, you know, Keenan Allen has been a big pile of... insert whatever word you want to. All right. So, what's the first situation you want to talk about here, Mike? I know you are a big Monty Ball fan coming into the season. Me, not so much. I didn't draft him on any of my teams. I wasn't against people drafting him in the first round prior to the season, just based on the situation. I've heard people mention this as, is this a classic case of you overvalue a situation instead of a player's actual talent? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
people like him just because of, you know, he's on the Broncos, but is he really as good as, like, these other top-notch talent running backs? I think it still might be a little early to, you know, proclaim him as that. I still do think that he has potential, but what do you think about this Broncos situation right now?
Well, first, everything I see is by the report that he's going to miss, in quotes, several weeks, so we can't really know what that means, I guess. Like, he could miss a couple weeks, maybe it could be a lot more severe.
What I saw today is that they said 4 weeks exactly.
Oh,
so that
okay.
could be
that
a whole
clears
month.
It up. Yeah, but at least you get some, you know exactly what it is. And I think Hillman is the first to, you know, get a shot at his job at replacing him. And for those who own Ball, don't think, I mean, I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen, but Ronnie Hillman or, say, CJ Anderson or Juwan Thompson, if one of them absolutely runs away with the job when Ball returns, who's to say they're just going to hand the ball back to Ball? But, I didn't
Mike,
plan that.
Seems like you got balls on the mind.
Oh, God. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely worth monitoring. If you own Monty Ball, I'm definitely going out and picking up Ronnie Hillman.
If you can.
Yeah, if you don't own him and you have, you know, it's Fab or you have the number one waiver claim, I like some other running backs more, but if you have Ball, just for the safety, I'm picking up Hillman. He played in 48% of the snaps this week. He got one target. He touched the ball 15 times. He had 64 yards. So, I mean, he looked solid. He's looked good in the backup role. C.J. Anderson, who everyone thought was going to be the handcuff originally, was a healthy scratch. So, I don't know why. Maybe they're falling out of favor with him. Who knows? And then Juwan Thompson, he only played 10% of the snaps, but he got 3 touches, 15 yards, and a touchdown. Maybe he's going to be their goal line back. I know Hillman had some issues fumbling at the goal line last year. But I don't know. I haven't watched too much on Thompson, but what I read about him is he's a really good pass blocker, and that's very important in an offense with Peyton Manning because they're all built around protecting him and letting him get the ball out of his hands. So if you can pass block, you're going to see the field. So I actually think I would rank these Hillman, Thompson, Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go away from what you said pretty much there, but the thing with the Broncos, and we saw it last year, is like, you know, like they're so successful on offense. They do random stuff like rock, paper, scissors for who's going to get the touchdown. So it's like, and especially with a coach like John Fox, we saw this back in the day when he had, when he coached the Carolina Panthers. He had D'Angelo Williams, he had Jonathan Stewart on that team, and, you know, he would constantly flip-flop. And I think that's something that can happen here, too. I would rank them in the same order that you did. I like Hillman for, you know, between the 20s type of running back. He's going to probably get the bulk of the work. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Moving forward right now for the next 4 weeks, I'd say he's at least a low-end RB2, you know, high-end flex in PPR leagues. But the thing is, I'm not sure if he's going to get those touches once he's in the red zone. He's not really a big back. He's kind of like one of those smaller, elusive backs. And they still kind of have a tough schedule here these next 4 games. I know the Jets just got torched, but with a coach like Rex Ryan, you know, if he gets embarrassed a certain way in a game, the next week he's going to come back, he's going to try his hardest to perfect that or, you know, fix the problem from the week before. So I don't think you're going to see the Jets get torched on the ground again. And then they get the 49ers after that, the Chargers, whose defense has looked great, and then the Patriots 4 weeks from now. Patriots have some holes on their defensive line, linebackers, so they've given up some big games to running backs this season. But, I mean, I'm not sure that Hillman is going to get goal line looks, and I know that's what a lot of people want to hear. But we just can't confirm that at this point.
The thing is, Hillman, if you're in a fab league, he's probably going to cost anywhere from, like, I could see $40 to $50 and more.
Yeah, if I'm a Monty Ball owner, I'm honestly dropping a lot of fab on Hillman. Because if you're a Monty Ball owner, the chances are you probably don't have a good record. Just because you used your first or second round pick on him and he hasn't performed. So you're going to have to drop a lot of fab on Hillman if you want him.
I have Ball in one league. I'm 1-4.
Exactly.
The only league I'm under 500 in.
That's a lot of teams right now. So.
And the thing is, you could probably save your money if you're not a Ball owner, even if you are and you don't have a lot of money to spend. Throw a buck, maybe up to $5 on Thompson and just get him. He's gonna go under the radar.
There was a few people during draft season that were saying, okay, would you rather take Monty Ball in the first or second round, or would you rather take C.J. Anderson or Ronnie Hillman in, you know, the last rounds of the draft, just in case Ball doesn't work out? It's kind of something similar to that. A lot of people are going to throw down their fab, use their number one waiver claim on Hillman, but if you want to be, you know, look for that kind of diamond in the rough in the Broncos offense, you never know who's going to emerge here. And even C.J. Anderson, too, I would say if you're in a deeper league and you want to take a shot on him, just because why not, I'm not opposed to that at all.
Another running back, the one I like the most of these replacements, if you own, you know, Monty Ball, but is Darren Sproles 2.0, a.k.a. Oliver. I don't know why.
Brandon with an E, yeah, Oliver.
I stuttered with his name. I actually, on my paper, I wrote Darren Sproles and Oliver next to it, and it looked to me like Darren Oliver.
Darren Oliver, there you go.
I was just like...
I think a lot of people are calling him Darren Sproles just because he wears Sproles' number, former number in San Diego, 43. Yeah. I think he does kind of have some explosiveness like Sproles, not nearly as fast, but he has much more build to him, too. I don't know if you watch that Jets game.
He's short and stout, but...
He is.
He has that, you know, that that quick burst about him that reminds everyone of Darren Sproles. I think he's going to be used from the rest of the season in that Sproles or Woodhead role.
I actually was going to suggest the same thing. Even once Donald Brown returns, I can't see him taking on much of a role in that Chargers team because realistically, Matthews and Brown are very similar player. You know, with Matthews being superior, the superior talent, in my opinion, and I think everyone else would agree. But Brandon Oliver already showed in one game that he can fulfill that kind of Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead-esque role. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. 4 receptions for 98 yards. He knows how to make players miss. The only thing that sucks for Oliver is that is the opportunity going to be there? Because if I knew for sure that it would, I would be willing to drop a lot of fab on this guy and use a high waiver claim on him, maybe even more than a Ronnie Hillman, just because he has the matchups coming up at Oakland this week. That is just a dream matchup. And he plays on a potent offense with San Diego. I don't think anyone's going to argue against that right now. It's just a matter of opportunity. Is he going to get that opportunity even when Matthews returns? Me and you are projecting that he's going to be fill that Woodhead type role.
Because,
but you know, we can't say for certain. Only the Chargers
the thing know is right the, now. The Chargers, they always have a running back that they like to dump the ball off to, their change of pace guy, and that's what Woodhead was replacing Sproles in that offense. He surprised some people last year. If you're in a PPR league, especially, I'm picking Oliver up. I'll throw a lot of money on him because Ryan Matthews just doesn't fit that role. They like to, you know, give him some time. Like, they like to bring Oliver in now. Well, it was Woodhead originally to change the pace, but now it's going to be Oliver. And I think Oliver will receive more carries than Woodhead would just because he's bigger. And he had 182 yards last week. I think he's here to stay. And if I could get any of these running backs, I'm going him.
Yeah, I mean, just for what he did in that game, I hope that he maintains some kind of role with this offense. I think he deserves it, at the least. But, you know, when you did say that you were going to throw money on him, I kind of got, like a weird mental picture in my head. Just, like, you throwing money
I don't know what's at wrong Brandon with Frank today, guys.
I don't know. I'm kind of promiscuous. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But the guy that I actually like him more than Brandon Oliver, is Andre Williams of the Giants. It's being reported that Rashad Jennings is going to miss a few weeks with an MCL sprain. And at any point, you know, this is speculation, and we don't hope for it, but it could turn into more. You never know. They always have to be delicate with running back's knees and stuff like that. But just watching Andre Williams, doesn't he kind of remind you a lot of, like, an Alfred Morris-type running back? Like, really good between the tackles, hard-nosed runner, isn't really going to catch the ball out of the backfield. And he's already getting the goal line looks.
Yeah, no, he was a guy I liked a lot coming into the season. I know a lot of people did. He was a big pick to break out. And he just started off slow. I mean, he's a rookie, probably had issues learning the playbook, learning, you know, when he has to block, you know, all that stuff. But that's the hardest thing for rookies to get down. And now, I mean, he looked the other day like he has it down pat.
He's a huge back, so I mean,
yeah.
It's just a matter of him learning it. I don't think he's going to have a problem actually pass protecting. I mean, this guy is built like a boulder.
No, yeah, and he did play 53% of the snaps. He had 83 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it was against the Falcons. You take it with a grain of salt. But it's his second game in a row with a touchdown. He had one against Washington. I know another game team.
That was garbage time.
It was, but
you know, I mean, the Giants were up huge in that game.
That whole game.
It's good to see that. I mean, it's obvious that he can perform at the NFL level. I mean, he's proving it right now. And you look at his next two matchups, at Philly and at Dallas, I really like Williams for the next 2 weeks. If you're hurting at running back and you need to make something happen, I think he's a bona fide RB2, high-end RB2 in these next two matchups. Rashad Jennings, while he was there starting for the Giants, was averaging 23 touches per game. Where are those touches going to go now? They're going to go to Williams. They don't really have anyone behind them.
Well, they have Peyton Hillis. He'll get some.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, the Giants were, I mean, because Jennings had that one game where he had, like, 35 carries. And after that game, they said, we need to tone him down. We can't give any running back that many carries. And I wrote about Andre Williams in the watch list that week saying that he's going to get more carries and he can do damage with him. And he has. But the thing is, I think they're going to keep Williams at around 20, maybe 20 carries.
Yeah,
a game.
He's not going to get 20. He's not going to get more than 20 touches a game. But even with that, I think he could be mid to high end RB 2 in these two next matchups coming up. One more replacement running back that we have here, just based on his situation, is Benny Cunningham, who filled in quite admirably for Zach Stacy once he went down in that game against the Eagles last week. Stacy was running well, was averaging over 4 yards per carry before he got hurt, and he actually fumbled the ball in that game. So as a Stacy owner myself, I am a little worried. Not only is he kind of injured right now, kind of banged up, but he already has 2 fumbles lost on the season. So, and I know coming into the year, there was like that talk about Benny Cunningham earning more work. He started a few of the preseason games ahead of Stacy. So, I mean, it is a little worrisome. Last week, Cunningham rushed seven times for 47 yards, 3 receptions for 24. The thing is, both of these running backs, they're good. You know, they can perform on this Rams team. The only thing is, the Rams haven't been in position to give their backs carries, really. You look at the games that they've played, they've been trailing big in all of these games. It's not like either one of these guys is more explosive than the other. They're both kind of, you know, the in-between-the-tackles type rushers. They're not super explosive. Benny Cunningham is just like a really big back.
And that's the reason, though, I wasn't high on Zach Stacy this year, because he's a volume runner. He needs those carries, and if you fall behind, I know the Rams' defense is underperforming, but I just wasn't a big fan of him, and I'm not a big huge fan of Benny Cunningham. Like, I'd rather have Hillman, Williams, and Oliver over him.
Oh, absolutely. I think Cunningham's just a guy. He's a handcuff play. I mean, if you own Stacy, you have have Cunningham. But if he's still available, you could take a chance this week. I know they said Jeff Fisher said he expects Stacy to play, and it is the Monday night game, so realistically, even if you pick Cunningham up, it might just be for down the stretch, because if Stacy plays this week, I don't know how much work Cunningham's going to get. He's probably going to get his normal, you know, 5 to 10 touches, maybe a little bit more, because, you know, Stacy's nursing that injury. But, yeah, I mean, I don't expect much out of him, to be honest, and they have a tough matchup, too, against the 49ers, so... That's that for now. Those are the are the replacement running backs. There's a ton right now.
I just want to throw, if you're in deep leagues and none of those guys are really available, I would look into Storm Johnson, who could get a lot of the carries if they go away from Gerhardt. One of the guys I've liked all year and still riding the bandwagon, Devontae Freeman. I think he that transition from SJAX to him is going to happen soon. And a guy I've also liked a little bit on the low, Chris Ogbonnaya, Panthers.
It's like a Nando DeFino, you know, reference mentioned in there. Because a few weeks ago, I heard him talking on SiriusXM about Chris Ogbonnaya. And everyone's really? Like, really? Nando's talking about Chris Ogbonnaya?
Do you know I wrote in my watch list?
Is that happening right now?
In last week's watch list article, I wrote about Reeves, and I actually said I think Ogbonnaya is going to be a sneaky back in this system. And he scored a touchdown.
But I don't want anything to do with the Panthers running backs.
Oh, me neither. But if you're in a deep league, I think Ogbonnaya is worth looking into.
And I know you mentioned the Falcons running backs right now, but one guy who's, you know, just making the most of his touches right now, I don't think you could sleep on him any longer, is Anton Smith. And, you know, he's being acknowledged by the coaching staff of the Falcons now, too. I mean, you look at this guy, he has more fantasy points than Eddie Lacy, LeSean McCoy, and C.J. Spiller. And really, what does he get? He hasn't gotten more than 5 touches in any game this season. The guy is just super explosive. He has like 2 or 3 touchdowns of over 50 yards this season. So, I mean, I expect him to get more touches as well. Maybe with becomes more of like a three-headed monster. I don't think SJAX is really ever going to be not part of the offense this season. Unless he gets hurt, of course.
No, yeah, I'd agree with that. But I just... The amount of snaps played is getting more and more to a 4-headed back with Jaquizz Rodgers in there as well.
Really, what role does Jaquizz Rodgers have on the team? I just don't understand.
He's the pass catcher.
But if you have Anton Smith doing that now, like really, what does he present to the team? You know, what does he bring to the table?
I don't know, but they like him.
I mean, I know you like his name. Is that why they're playing him, maybe?
Maybe, but Steven Jackson led their running backs with 36% of the snaps last week, but Smith was in there for over 20, Devontae Freeman was in there for over 20, and I believe Rodgers was as well. So it may be a little running back tandem you want to stay away from.
All right, Mikey, who is the top underachiever or overachiever that you would like to discuss first?
I say we start with the under first, and I don't even think it's a question who the biggest underachiever this year is. LeSean McCoy. Just, if you drafted LeSean McCoy, were you hoping for 80 yards and a fumble to be his best game in the past 3 weeks?
Mike, trivia question. How many yards per carry is LeSean McCoy averaging right now?
It's like 2.2, I want to say.
2.9.
Ah.
Damn, you are really down on LeSean McCoy, man. No, but seriously, I mean, this is a guy that has never had a yards per carry in any season, even his rookie or sophomore season. He's never been under 4.1 yards per carry. So, I mean, I know that there's problems on this Eagles offensive line right now. Some of the stuff that I've been reading says, like, there are more problems with this Eagles offense than you are being led to believe, because they're scoring a lot of their points on special teams. They're scoring defensive touchdowns. And if you look at it closely, Nick Foles really hasn't been as good as people think he is. I think he's completing only 59% of his throws right now.
I'd say the
and it's trickling down to everyone. I mean, it's McCoy, it's Sproles, everyone.
I think their offense has one guy who we thought they would have four or five must-start options. I say they have one, and it's Macklin.
And who predicted that, Mike?
Me.
Wow, what a humble fantasy analyst he is.
I love Macklin. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that. Whenever he scores, I get really happy.
So, all right, so what are you suggesting with McCoy? I think we're getting to this point in the season, and this is kind of something I wanted to emphasize in this podcast, is, all right, we're at week 6 right now, we're getting to the point where you know what you need to do with your team. Do you need to make a move? Can you afford to sit tight and wait on Macklin? Because if you try McCoy? To... McCoy. If you try to trade McCoy, you're not going to get anything for him right now.
You know what's crazy, though? Some people... still on his name are. Like, I just got offered a question, should I trade Brandon Marshall for LeSean McCoy on Twitter? And to think that you could still get a top 10 wide receiver for his name.
I mean, Marshall has kind of been fluttering as well, though. And he's kind of banged up.
I got to look at it. I got to ask one question, and the two main pieces were DeMarco Murray for LeSean McCoy. And the fact that people are still selling their good players for his name. I guess it depends on your league. A more experienced league might think, hey, I'm not going to pay this much for a guy with a struggling O-line. But some people might just think, oh, it's LeSean McCoy. He's going to be fine.
So, and I think he is going to be better. And, I mean, there's not a lot that, you know, suggests that he is going to be better. Maybe once the offensive line is completely healthy. I also saw some things that said maybe he's not 100% healthy. Like, there's something that he's hiding right now. Nobody knows for sure. I mean... he hasn't said anything. The coaching staff hasn't said anything. Chip Kelly has defended McCoy 100%, you know, even throwing the rest of the team under the bus, saying, you know, this is not McCoy's fault. Whose fault is it, though?
I don't know, but I think from here on out, you have to view McCoy as an RB2. He may perform as an RB1
eventually
the rest of the year, but as of now, until we see it for at least more than one game in a row, like 2-3 games, you got to look at him as an RB2 with a ton of upside, but...
yeah, I mean, you're not benching him. You can't afford to. And I think the fact that he plays in the NFC East, you know, still keeps his value in that RB2 range, just because the defenses he plays are just... they're not very threatening. I know the Redskins have been better against the run, but they're still not good.
The crazy thing is, who's going to be, like, your top three picks next year? You may get two, maybe Murray and Charles, and then I think it's just going to be all receivers.
I mean, at this point, more than half the first round has been terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, McCoy, all right, you can't control Adrian Peterson's situation, but then Charles and Forte have been good. Monty Ball, not good. Lacy is starting to come around now. Calvin, banged up.
He's on this list, underachievers.
Who's the next guy?
Let's talk. It was going to be someone else, but let's talk about Calvin. He, you know, he was only on the field for 45% of the snaps last week. He had one target. He caught it for 7 yards.
And then he got hit low. And it's like, why are the Lions putting him in this situation?
And he is...
it's just not smart.
They need to rest him. You know, and I own Calvin in a league, and the last 2 weeks, I've gone 1-1, luckily, getting 1 point out of him. It's a PPR league. But as a Calvin Johnson owner, and I think... I know you used to own him in one of your leagues. I know a lot of people that own him. I think we all would agree. Just give him the week off. It was like when Jamal Charles had that high ankle sprain. I was like, give him a week or two off. Let him get healthy. I'd rather that than have it linger and him do this all year. So just the Lions need to rest him. And that offense is completely different when he's not in the game. Trust me, I watched that whole game. It was against the Bills. Their offense scored 7 points because they had a pick six. And that is not the Lions offense that we know and love.
Yeah, I mean, historically, Stafford's numbers with and without Calvin Johnson, and rightfully so, it's just no comparison. So, I mean, you know, this also affects Stafford owners as well. You know, I mean, you should have sat him against the game against the Jets. Realistically, I mean, the Jets have been so bad. You probably could have won that game without Calvin Johnson.
And oh, I think, you mean the Lions? I thought you meant fantasy owners.
No. And I'm saying, no, I stick by this week in and week out. I mean, if your stars are playing, you have to start them.
I agree.
You know, it's the way it goes. A few weeks ago, Brandon Marshall scored 3 touchdowns, and he was questionable for the Sunday night game. So, I mean, you just got to roll with your best players. But with
Jamal Charles, too.
With Calvin Johnson, I think it is much more worrisome than McCoy, just because it's a lower leg injury. We know ankle stuff tends to linger, especially for wide receivers, big wide receivers that, you know, put so much pressure on their, you know, their feet and their ankles to be able to make these cuts and be able to jump up and make these athletic throws that they do. I do think this is somewhat worrisome. More than the McCoy situation, like, I wouldn't blame you if you try to shop McCoy just based on his name, but I would start to get into the discussion of doing that for Calvin Johnson now, too. I know his value is even lower than it was last week. Like you said, I moved him in one league, you know, in a package deal to get Dez Bryant back. And I couldn't be more happy. I was worried about the ankle, and I read stuff about his knees as well. So I do not feel good about Calvin Johnson right now.
I'm actually in the opposite. I'm in the same league.
Risky Frank, Mike.
The guy that he traded to is really struggling. So he needs running backs badly. I hit him up and was like, hey, I'll give you Doug Martin for Calvin, waiting on a response. But we'll
I was like, hey. Yeah, that's how Mike starts all of his trade talks. You know, he texts me and he goes, hey.
Yeah.
Exactly like that. All right.
Speaking of Doug Martin, he's also on this list.
That was a fart sound I just made.
The thing is,
Doug Farton. That's how bad he is.
He's not as bad as his numbers say.
Michael Florio is the owner of Doug Martin.
Yes.
Just
and
saying.
I think a big part of it is their O-line, because that's terrible. But he was on the field for 65% of the snaps. He touched the ball 17 times. He had 74 total yards. The thing was, Bobby Rainey got that touchdown.
So why did he get that touchdown over Doug Martin?
I don't know.
Why was he getting the carries in the red zone? Was it just like a thing of them doing the hurry up? They were driving on the Saints and they just wanted to, you know,
it might have been a combo of that, because I was watching that game on red zone, so I didn't watch the whole game. But there was other times they were in the red zone and Martin was in. So I just think it happened to be like, Rainey's on the field, oh, we're going to hand it off to him this time. But if Martin gets that touchdown, he finishes with double-digit fantasy points, and no one is worrying. So, yeah, I mean, if you could trade him based on his name, he's another one I would. But I don't think he's as bad as his numbers say. His numbers are really bad right now.
I think he's one of those players right now that are extremely touchdown-dependent. Like, if he doesn't get a touchdown, he's not going to be good. Like, he's kind of in that Trent Richardson, Steven Jackson-esque role, like in fantasy, but just, you know, like one tier higher, if that makes sense.
The thing that worries me about him is coming off that ACL injury, he has shown zero signs of that old explosiveness that he had his rookie year.
And that, the thing with Martin is, you know, he's not going to be consistent. Like, he's going to probably have some big games, but he's going to have some duds too. And I generally tend to stay away from players like that. I only have Martin in one league, and what do you know? I'm 1-4 in that league, so.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And lastly, Keenan Allen, he's another one. I don't think he's as bad as his numbers say he is. I know he's only had one good game out of 5, but do you know he led his team in snaps and targets the other day against the Jets? I mean, he only had 3 receptions for 25 yards. No one cares that he led them in snaps and targets, but that's going to come around, I believe. I believe if you have the targets and you're as talented as Keenan Allen, he's going to turn it around.
Mike, what do you say that we start a fantasy league where we get points for offensive snaps and targets? You like that idea?
No.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, even if, you know, if you're heavily involved in the offense, you still get fantasy points.
I was in a league one time where running backs got a point per carry. They finished the game with, like, 50 points.
What league was that?
Started by Freddie Darwich.
Was that, like, the kindergarten league or something?
Yeah, it was.
Something similar to that, right?
Yeah.
All right. I got some stuff written down on Keenan Allen right here. I think a lot of what's happening with Keenan Allen right now is kind of out of his control. Like, the targets have been inconsistent if you look at his game logs. And just the flow of the games that the Chargers have been playing, I'm not sure that they've needed Keenan Allen that much. Especially, like, in games against, like, the Seahawks. Like, you know he's going to get proper defensive attention against the Seahawks secondary. And that was a game where Antonio Gates was destroying them. So they didn't need Keenan Allen to perform that game. In a game against the Jets, they didn't need big plays from Keenan Allen. Once again, Antonio Gates was destroying the team along with Brandon Oliver. So I just think it's been things that are out of his control. I'm not sure that we're ever going to get to the point where his targets are going to be consistently the best on the team, because last year, he was pretty much the only target Phillip Rivers had. Antonio Gates was really nicked up last season. They didn't have Malcolm Floyd, and Eddie Royal completely, like, fluttered out of the offense last season. So Keenan Allen was Phillip Rivers' key go-to guy last season. I just don't know if it's going to get to a point where that happens this season, or if they even need it to happen. Because, I mean, you look at the way that they're playing right now, Phillip Rivers is playing at an MVP caliber level, and the Chargers are 4-1 with the production that Keenan Allen is giving. So I'm not sure that they're going to, like, make it a priority to get him more involved in the offense. There might be games where they're trailing, where they're going to need to throw more, and, you know, he could see some looks. I know that the Chargers have a pretty favorable schedule.
It gets harder, though. Like, they're going to need to score more points.
I mean, more than 31, like they did against the Jets last week.
Yeah, that was. They were up big, though, early and ran it a lot. I mean, they get the Broncos twice still. They get the Patriots, the Ravens. I mean, teams that they're going
to... And then the Patriots, he's probably going to see Revis that game.
He could.
So, I mean, the way that I'm viewing Keenan Allen right now is probably like a solid to high-end wide receiver 3. It sucks that it's gotten to that point, but I think with the potential to be better. I don't think you can trust him as a wide receiver 2. If you're in a league where you start only two wide receivers and a flex, most weeks right now you're probably not starting Keenan Allen as your wide receiver 2, if you think about it, with the emergence of other wide receivers. Guys like Brian Quick, Steve Smith. I'd rather start those guys over Keenan Allen right now. And I don't think you can argue it, really.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you drafted Keenan Allen as your number 2 wide receiver, you likely didn't run... I mean, you probably didn't get one of those guys. Maybe you did,
but they were going late, though. You know, like, Steve Smith and Brian Quick were going into double-digit rounds.
No, yeah, I'm saying that you probably didn't stack up on...
Right now, wide receivers. I'd probably roll those guys out consistently week in and week out over Keenan Allen. That's just what I'm saying. If you play in a 3-wide receiver league, yeah, you're going to have Keenan Allen in your lineup every week. I think that's just how I'm viewing the situation with the Chargers.
I still think he's a low-end wide receiver, too.
All right, fair enough. I know you got some Twitter questions written down.
Oh, we're not doing overachievers?
Oh, overachievers?
Do we have time, or?
I don't think so.
Oh, all right. Well,
it's pretty obvious who the overachievers are right
DeMarco
now.
DeMarco Murray on pace to set the record of carries. That's going to go down.
And they even said today, the Cowboys said, you know, we're going to back off his workload a little bit. And they have no choice to, man. They're gonna run this guy into the ground. We know he's injury prone.
Justin Forsett, he's currently a top 10 running back, and I know he's the best blocker of the three. That's why he sees the field the most. He had 8 targets this week. Neither of the other two running backs had any. So he's going to see the field a lot, but I think Taliaferro slowly starts to take more snaps away.
I think that situation gets to a point where Bernard Pierce completely falls out of the discussion of playing. Taliaferro gets more work. Forsett remains probably an RB2 option for the rest of the season.
And Eddie Royal, he's a top 12 wide receiver currently. A lot of people thought he would step into that Woodhead role,
no,
but Brandon Oliver stepped
no,
up.
No, and more no. I'm sorry. We saw this last year. We know how this ends. I'm sorry.
And on to the Twitter questions.
Hit me.
C. Jason Kennedy 1 says, which Tom Brady shows up this week? Tom Brady is at Buffalo. A very underrated defense, if I may say so myself.
Not a fan of this. Not a fan of Brady this week.
I said my answer was in the middle of what you saw the last 2 weeks. He won't be as bad as he was against the Chiefs. He won't be as good as we saw against the Bengals.
So that basically puts him at about 200 passing yards and one touchdown. That's not really a viable
starting quarterback. I could see him doing like 250 and maybe one or two touchdowns.
I'd probably be bold and start one of these, you know, Andy Dalton with a good matchup, Ryan Tannehill, who I like this week, maybe even Austin Davis.
The thing about the Bills is they've been shockingly great against the run. So
I mean, they shut down, for the most part, they shut down the Lions' pass defense, pass offense as well.
Golden Tate had a big game, and there was no Calvin.
I'm not a big fan of Brady this week.
The next guy, LTBB1971, says Crabtree at the Rams or Reggie Wayne at Houston. And I say Reggie Wayne.
I actually agree with you. Even though this is a Thursday night game, it's in Houston. I think this game could be closer than people think. And Reggie Wayne has been consistent. Sad to say, I mean, much more consistent than Crabtree. Crabtree's just, he's thrown up a few duds already this year. And I know there's been talk that his foot has been bothering him, so I will roll with Reggie Wayne this week.
Simply put, Wayne is Luck's go-to guy. Even though he's been spreading the ball great, Wayne is still that go-to guy.
What's up next?
Fantasy Ray G says, rank these only the top five, but there's a lot of names here.
Uh-oh.
Rest of season.
Wait, hold on. I might have to write this down.
It's Marcus Wheaton, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham Jr., Marvin Jones, Sanu, Bo, Adams.
Devontae Adams?
Yeah. Or Andre Holmes. And while Frank looks at it, I'll say my five, I ranked them, was Marvin Jones, Odell Beckham, Allen Robinson, Marcus Wheaton, Dwayne Bo. And honestly, Bo only got put on there because of his past and his name. But he does. They do not look to him that often in the offense. They go to the tight ends more and the running backs.
Oh, my. Yeah, I would. I'm not sure. Like, I don't have this in any particular order. I'm just going to give you my five best. I'm going to go with Marvin Jones, Odell Beckham, Wheaton. I actually like Devontae Adams. And I will also throw in Dwayne Bowe.
You're a big Allen Robinson fan. You're leaving him out.
I just don't think there's anyone worth trusting on this Jaguars offense right now. And I think the combination of Cecil Shorts coming back and Marquise Lee, there's just too many mouths to feed.
I agree, but we'll see. At D. Coggins says, trade Golden Tate for either Ahmad Bradshaw or Ben Tate. Have Demaryius, Dez, Wayne,
and need an
RB2.
Who's his wide receivers again?
Demaryius, Dez, Wayne, and Golden Tate. Tate is the one he is trading.
And he needs an RB2?
Yes. He says Bradshaw or Ben Tate.
I mean, if you have to choose between those two, I'd probably take Ben Tate. But I think you can actually get more for Golden Tate right now, to be honest.
I said I would do that for Ben Tate. Yes. Ahmad Bradshaw is...
I like Tate a lot. Just maybe if you do get Tate in that deal, if you have nowhere else to go... Because I do think you could get more value for Golden Tate, especially coming off last week. And you could probably just tell some owner, like, oh, Calvin Johnson's hurt now. Golden Tate's the number one option. You know, use your little Frank charm, that I like to call it. I do like Ben Tate, but if you get him, you have to be sure to pick up Crowell or Terrence Williams, if they're available.
You mean West?
Terrence West.
I think you pick up Crowell. Yeah. I wouldn't go West.
Either way, my opinion.
I think Crowell is...
Is that five already, or is that just
is four?
All right, let's go. Hit me.
Scott2345 says, trade Kelvin Benjamin for Ben Tate and Crowell. His wide receivers are Calvin, Antonio Brown, and Devontae Adams. His running backs are Lacy and Jennings, non-PPR. And my response was simply, no.
I agree with you 100%.
You can't trust it.
I'm not trusting Devontae Adams. And if you might have to plug him in your lineup if Calvin Johnson misses time, too. Exactly. So, no, there's no way I make that trade.
And that's it for the Twitter questions.
Speaking of Twitter, where can people follow you on Twitter, Mikey?
At Michael F. Florio. Two F's in there.
How's NBC Sports treating you?
Alright.
Alright, fair enough. You can follow me at Roto underscore Frank. Once again, I need the followers more than Mike does, so yeah, make sure you make that happen. If you're interested in any of the instrumentals, the intro, the outro, the music that played throughout this video, make sure to check out soundcloud.com/driftenoffsome, driftenoffsome. It's been real. Stay classy, fantasy owners.